From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yanko.
China! They're draining us. They're taking our money. They're rebuilding themselves.
You know, Shai, the United States and China have had a frosty relationship lately.
Yeah, and that's all over the news, of course.
The stakes just got higher in America's showdown with China. The Trump administration now says it's ready to impose tariffs on up to $450 billion worth of goods from China. A major escalation.
There's been tension between the United States and China since communism took hold there in the 1940s. But there's been one consistent bridge between the two countries the whole time, the Philadelphia Orchestra. They've been to China to perform more than any other American orchestra.
Yeah, the connections between China and the orchestra date back 80 years, and they relate to war, communism, and President Richard Nixon.
So how did the relationship start? And why is it still going strong 80 years later?
Today's show, From Mao to Mozart.
Jennifer Lin is a former Philadelphia Inquirer China Bureau Chief and is co-producer of the upcoming documentary Beethoven in Beijing.
1973, China is in the midst of the Cultural Revolution. And this was a really chaotic, violent period in China's modern history. Basically, Mao called it the Cultural Revolution because he wanted to remake culture in China, turn it into something revolutionary.
And that would be Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong, yes. He was the chairman. He was the founder of the People's Republic. Mao wanted to get rid of old ways, of old traditions, and that included Western culture.
The great Supreme Commander, Chairman Mao, issued a world-shaking call to us. You should pay attention to state affairs and carry the great proletarian cultural revolution through to the end.
And so during this time, musicians could not perform Western music. People could play the violin, they could play the piano, but they could not perform Beethoven or Brahms or Chopin or any of the great masters. You know, they were not allowed to. They could only perform revolutionary music. These would be ballets or operas or symphonies that were based on the People's Liberation Army. There were only 8 model operas, they called them, that people were allowed to perform, and that was it.
So if that was the state of classical music in China in the 70s, how did the Philadelphia Orchestra end up performing there?
The Chinese had a very warm spot in their heart, their collective heart, for the Philadelphia Orchestra, and the reason is, in 1940, when China was at war with Japan, the Philadelphia Orchestra held a benefit concert for the people of China. It was for raising funds for medical relief. The Chinese never forgot that. The Philadelphia Orchestra was one of the premier orchestras in the world. Conductor Eugene Ormandy went out of his way to cultivate Nixon as a fan. And Nixon liked Ormandy. He asked the Philadelphia Orchestra to perform at both of his inaugurations.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
The important thing to remember is that before Nixon made his visit to China in 1972, China and the United States were enemies.
Yeah.
You know, you had 3 superpowers. You had the United States, the Soviet Union, and China. And China was very wary of the Soviet Union and wanted to have better relations with the United States. So we took these tentative little steps of kind of building bridges. The Chinese invited ping pong players. They invited athletes like swimmers and basketball players. But they wanted a cultural element to this new relationship. And they invited the Philadelphia Orchestra. Nixon liked them, and the Chinese liked them. The Philadelphia Orchestra became the obvious choice.
So the Philadelphia Orchestra comes to China, and that music is broadcast, a lot of it for the first time,
to the ears of the Chinese people. And you have this great interview in the documentary with the composer Tan Dun, and he tells the story of like first hearing Western classical music. Can you just tell us that story?
Tan Dun is a composer, probably one of the best-known Chinese composers. In the States, people might remember him for... He did the score for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
And the Oscar goes to... Tan Dun, for Crouching Tiger.
Tan Dun was a teenager in 1973, working on a commune.
I was learning how to plant the rice.
And he heard a news report. It was just a snippet of the concerts that came over the loudspeaker.
Big speakers on the field. He said, "Do you want to hear some interesting music? This is called symphony. The Philadelphia Orchestra is in China."
Back then in China, people didn't have like personal radios or TVs. They actually got their news, if they were in the countryside, from loudspeakers.
It's Beethoven, bam, 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 bam. Then I also hear the dun, 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 the Beethoven also.
Dumbfounded by what he heard, because he had never heard it before.
And I was immediately seduced by this orchestra.
So after the Cultural Revolution ended in 1976, like, what was the feeling toward classical music in China?
Almost immediately, all the restrictions were lifted, and people began to really embrace classical music. When the Central Conservatory in Beijing reopened, they had 30,000 people applying for 150 spots in the school. So there had been this pent-up demand, and all of a sudden, in the 1980s, it was released. At the same time in the 1980s, China's economy is exploding. There's a middle class that's growing, and people have money to spend on things like music lessons for their kids, buying a piano for their child, or a violin for their only son or daughter. So the 1980s was this period of really explosive growth in terms of interest in classical music. One of the conductors in our movie calls it Beethoven fever that hit China.
When did the first sort of big talents, big on the world stage, I guess, start to come out of China?
There was a young musician, a young pianist from Beijing, whose name was Lang Lang.
It's no exaggeration to say that Lang Lang is the most famous pianist on the planet.
And when he was a teenager, he came to Philadelphia to the Curtis Institute of Music.
My dream was going to the Academy of Music to hear Philadelphia Orchestra concert. I got a call from my management. The Philadelphia Orchestra is going to China.
He returned to China with the Philadelphia Orchestra and made his professional debut at the Great Hall of the People.
They decided to have a 20-minute piano concerto,
which was watched by about 80 million people on Chinese TV.
Jennifer, you traveled with the orchestra for their 2008 concert after classical music had really caught on. What was that like?
I was interviewing people as they were coming out of the concert, asking them about their impressions. And I was just struck by the depth of nostalgia and the degree of real fondness that the people I was talking to had for this orchestra. It really told me that there was something very deep. There was a deep connection between the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Chinese public.
But as classical music is growing in popularity in China, it's losing popularity here. Roberto Diaz, president of the Curtis Institute of Music, has talked about this.
We spend a lot of time, not just in the States, but around the world, talking about how audiences are dwindling and how orchestras are, you know, not doing as well as they did at one point.
The orchestra filed for bankruptcy in 2011, and like many American orchestras, was just facing great financial pressure. Remember, 2008, we had a very severe recession, and that affected, you know, a lot of institutions, cultural institutions. So after the orchestra filed for bankruptcy, you know, it came out of bankruptcy in 2012. And it was at that time that it made a conscious decision to invest more in touring China and really to develop the Chinese market, to bring their brand to China.
You see this wave of excitement coming from this part of the world for what we do, and it's absolutely fantastic.
So the orchestra, the Philadelphia Orchestra, recently performed in Shanghai. How is that connection now?
The Philadelphia Orchestra has been to China 11 times, and they're going back a 12th time this May. They've been to China more than any other American orchestra. And every time they go, you know, their concerts are basically sold out. It's so interesting because when we were in Shanghai the last time, we got footage of this, you know, for our documentary. There are people outside the concert hall who are actually scalping tickets. Now, that's something you would never see in Philadelphia.
Scalpers at a classical music
concert. Yeah, and the concerts of the Philadelphia Orchestra, at least, are sold out.
Okay. Jennifer, thanks for coming
Jennifer,
in and talking to us.
Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
Tomorrow night, the Philadelphia Orchestra is playing a free joint concert with the Shanghai Philharmonic Orchestra to celebrate the Chinese New Year. And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Special thanks to History Making Productions, who provided audio.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us.
Got a question for The Why? Reach out on Twitter at Shai Ben-Yaakov, at Annette J.H., or at Alex Ray Stern.
We'll be back tomorrow.